My message tonight is called "It Is Finished," is the title. I'm going to be reading out of John 19, verse 28. I'm going to start. It says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." And our Lord, it was a mighty big sacrifice he made for us that no one else could have done for us. He went to Calvary to pay for our sins, and each and every one of us were guilty. There's not a one of us that hasn't sinned at some point in our life, somewhere. We needed a Savior, and Jesus was that Lamb of God. He came to die in our place to pay for the penalty of sin, which was death. And he paid it so we wouldn't have to. But he made a way for us to make it into heaven with the Father. And what he did there, I'm going to go through some things. It says, "It is finished," is the point I want to bring out. But it says, "What was finished?" And I'm going to go through some different things the Lord fulfilled when he was on that cross and that day when he went there for us. Let's all look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do love you. We're so thankful, Lord, for what you've done for us, Lord. And we could never repay you, Lord, but we thank you, God, for each and every act you did there, all the way to Calvary, all the scriptures being fulfilled, Lord, and your faithfulness to the Father, Lord. And we just thank you, God, for the gift you sent back, the Holy Spirit, Lord, to help us along life's way until we get home to be with you, Lord. We just thank you for the fellowship here tonight and all each day, Lord, as you go with us. We just praise you and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. May you be seated. So the first thing was fulfilled was suffering of Christ, and it was prophesied some of the things he would have to go through. And I'm going to look back at Isaiah 53 in verse 4. It says, "Surely he hath bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And thank the Lord that he was willing to bear that cup when it came time there in the Garden of Gethsemane, just before he went to the cross. He was praying and he said, "Father, if there be any other way, but yet if I must, let it be." You know, he wanted the Father's will. He wasn't going to renege or run from it. He was going to endure it for our sake, because he could see down into the future what was going to happen, what it was going to produce for us. And thankful that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. You know, it's kind of hard to look back and see what all he went through for us. You know, the mockery, the spitting in his face, and pulling his beard, and, you know, putting the robe on him and bowing the knee and putting the thorns on his head and all the things they did to ridicule him. And he didn't one time turn and try to get even with them or anything. He just knew what he had to do, and he was willing to do it for our sake. And I'm thankful that we are healed because of what he has done. We have healing. It says, "He was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed." So our healing is paid for. And if we have the faith, we ask the Father, the first thing, many things, we don't get our prayers answered is one of the things is we don't ask. If you don't ask, you won't receive. And the Lord knows what we need even before we ask, but yet he wants us to come to him and ask. In verse 7 it says, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And the Father in heaven, he didn't get any pleasure out of seeing his son suffer like that, but yet he was willing to accept that price that he was willing to pay for us. And he was, when he did that, it fulfilled. It said, it is finished. And it made a way for us that he doesn't have to go back to the cross ever again. It's not a over and over thing, but it's a one-time thing. And he did it for our sake. And thank the Lord that he was willing and faithful to the Father. In 1 Peter 3 and 18, says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So the just was for the unjust. We were the unjust. We were the ones with sin. Christ didn't have any sin in his life. He was perfect without sin, because that he could pay for our penalty. And if he had had one sin in his life, then he would have been just the same shape as we are, and there would have been no one else to pay for the penalty of sin. But because of his clean life and no sin in it, he came and left heaven, all the splendor and the glory there, and all the worship and everything, being in fellowship with God in heaven, and he came here to endure and walk as a man and see what we go through. And he was acquainted with all of our griefs and knows our feelings. He knows what we go through, because he experienced some of the same things. And another thing that was accomplished, he defeated Satan. In St. John 12 and 31, it says, now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And he said, signifying the death he should die. And so the prince of this world we know is Satan. He goes roaming to and fro upon the earth, but his time is... he's still roaming to and fro at this time, but God's got a plan and a timetable, and when it's time, he's going to be in the bottomless pit for a season, and after 1,000 years, he'll be released. And then after that, he's going to end up in the lake of fire, and he'll never leave from there after that. And there'll be no more devil to tempt God's people, no more sin where we're going to. We're going to be in a perfect place with a perfect Lord, and it's all going to be because of what Christ done for us way back on Calvary. In Colossians 2 and 13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled all principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So he was victorious over the devil. And if Satan knew what was going to be accomplished when he had people come and take Jesus and put him on that cross, if he had had any idea, he would have never have done it. But it was all part of plan that God had to be fulfilled for our sake, and it all worked out for our good. And thank the Lord again. Can't say it enough, but thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. In Hebrews 2 and 14, it says, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power over death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." And thank the Lord, he got the victory over death. Death, hell, and the grave, he took the keys, and the devil's, his time is short. He knows he's going to face a time when his time is up, and he's going to reap what he's sown, all his rebellion against God, and it's not going to be good for him. We got a beautiful future ahead of us, but he does not. There's no hope for him. And also, breaking down the middle wall of the partition to make the Jews and Gentiles one, in Ephesians 2 and 13, says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. And through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And I'm thankful that Christ is no respecter of persons. He says, "Whosoever will, let him come partake of that river of living water and of that eternal life." We can have it. It's available to anyone that wants it. Just like it was said, if we hunger and thirst for it, we can have it, and we will be filled. It's like it tells us in Matthew. In Ephesians 3 and 6, it says, "Then the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and to the same body and partakers of this promise in Christ the gospel, by the gospel." In 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And the body is not one member, but many." And it doesn't matter whether we're Jew, Gentile, male, female, young, old, you know, what country we were from. Jesus is our Creator. He's our Maker of all of us, and he loves us all. And he wants to be our Savior and our God. It's just up to us to allow him access into our life. But we can turn him away if we want. We have that privilege. God gave us the right, you know, to make our decision whether to accept him or reject him. And many make that bad decision. But I think they'll regret it once they get where they're going, and they won't have another chance. But, you know, now is our opportunity to come be a part of that family. In Galatians 3 and 26, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And he also made a way of access to God in Hebrews 10 and 19. We've already talked quite a bit about it, but the scripture says, Hebrews 10, 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And so he made a new and a living way. He made a new testament, a new contract with us. The old was done away with. And this one that came up was better than the old. And God made a way. We no longer have to sacrifice animals for our sins and like they did in the Old Testament, go to the high priest. And once a year he'd go in and make sacrifices for his sins and for the people's. And it just pushed the sin forward. When Christ came, it was a one-time sacrifice, and it washed the sins away. And God said it's cast into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, and it is gone, just like it never happened. And thank the Lord for the work he did. And the consolation of the reign of death in Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. I know I've already read it, but it's talking about how he did away with death, and death has no more hold. When Christ resurrected, he'll never see death again. He's going to live eternally. And the people that are born again go to heaven with him. They don't have to worry about death. They're just, we may die here and go to the grave before we go be with him. We may not. It's just depending on the timing. He may take us in the rapture in the air. But regardless whether we go one way or the other, if we're living right, we have accepted him as our Savior, made things right with the blood applied to our sins, then we have a hope in glory. We'll be there with the Lord for eternity. In Romans 6 and 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And go to Romans 8 and 1, and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. And so we walk in the Spirit. We're not going to fulfill the things of the flesh. It says in verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And verse 13, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we want to be led by that Holy Spirit we talked about tonight. Let him have reign in our life and lead us, help us make decisions with his leading. And if we try to run things on our own, we're going to make a mess of things. And I know from experience, been there too long and too many times. But when we call out on the Lord and ask Him, you know, what should I do in this situation? How should I face it? And He's always there waiting to hear from us, and He will help us, and He'll lead us the best path. 1 Corinthians 15:54. A cancellation of sin's power and excuse me, my throat's kind of raspy tonight, but it says, so then this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass saying that it's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, but the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, let it be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So there's coming a payday when we put forth all this effort to live for God and let Him have His way in our life. It's going to lead us where we want to go. It's going to help us, and we're going to cash in big time, and the Lord's going to reward us. But if we turn Him away and try to run things on our own, we'll also be rewarded for that. We won't like what we get. But so the choice is ours. The demonstration of obedience and love to death is what Christ showed when He was on the cross. In Philippians 2:8, and being found in the fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And not everyone may confess Him as Lord at this time, but one day every knee shall bow. It says everyone will. It may not benefit Him at that time, but we can benefit from it now if we confess Him as our Lord and invite Him in. But like I say, everyone's going to one of these days because of the work He did, and God's going to glorify His name because of it. He was humbled Himself, became obedient unto death. And there's a lot of good men out there that stood up for right things and gave their life, and many for our country. And it grieves my heart to see the shape our country's in today, and thinking about our forefathers, what they did to give us the freedom that we have. But thank the Lord there were some good men that were willing to give that price that we might have the freedom we enjoy. And Hebrews 5:8 says, though we were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. So that's the key right there, obeying Him. In order to obey Him, we got to read His word, we got to hear His voice, we got to be led by the Spirit, and it's that relationship. We can't make it to heaven without knowing Him. We got to have the fellowship day by day, and we can't just say, I want you to be my Lord, and then just go live our life and ignore Him and think we're going to go to heaven. It won't happen. But we're not going to make it without that fellowship with the Lord. It's talking about, you know, that oil in the vessels of the 10 virgins, and it's got to keep that oil in there, the Holy Spirit. And 1 Peter 2:21, or even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, whose own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. So thank the Lord that he came looking for us, and we didn't come looking for him, but he reached out and he put people in our path, and he sent the gospel out, and he said his word would not return to him void, but it would accomplish what he sent it out to do, and it has will bear fruit for him. And salvation from sin, Matthew 26 and 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And that blood was precious. Like I said, there was no one else that could have done it other than Christ because of the qualifications he had. In Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensations of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained the inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In Revelations 1 and 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And thank the Lord for the blood. In Revelations 5 and 9, it says, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hath made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And he made peace between us and God, between God and man, in Colossians 1 and 19. Must have been half asleep. I got First Colossians. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which is ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister. And that little word if, verse 23, so if you continue. So we can get in the race, and we can step right back out if we don't stay faithful to the Lord. We can have our receive that grace in vain, and we can lose out, and we can have our name blotted out of the book, but no reason to be. If we want to make it, we can, with the Lord's help. And satisfaction of the full justice of God in Romans 3 and 21 says, but now that the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance to God. And so it says, the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ, and faith, it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. We got to get in the race. He gives us a measure of faith to believe, and we got to exercise that faith. We got to use it. He didn't just give us something to throw it away and count it as nothing, but it's something we need, and we can grow it as we go along. The more we use it, the stronger your faith will grow. The longer you walk with the Lord, you'll believe for bigger and better things as you go along. Your faith will be built up as you overcome the enemy and his attacks when you call out on the Lord, and he'll strengthen you. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And we don't like to read on down that far and see that part, but that's part of it too. It says, in the world you shall have tribulation. It's not maybe or could, might. It says you shall. And it's just a part of what the Lord's plan is for us. But he works all things out for our good, those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And he makes us stronger by the resistance we come up against, the problems we face. With the Lord's help, he strengthens us and takes us through. And says, working patience, patient experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Excuse me. He also, like I said before, he made possible for bodily healing for us in 1 Peter 2:24. And who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And we also read back there in Isaiah 53 about by his stripes we were healed. And excuse me. And he made a way of full endowment of power and full anointing of the Holy Ghost. When he left, he said he would send back the Comforter. And he didn't just desert us, say, all right, I've helped you so far, you can make the rest of the way on your own. No, he was looking out for us. He sent back someone, another Comforter. God himself, Jesus, was a Comforter. He came and set people free, healed people, and he healed the blind, the deaf, the dumb, and, you know, all the different things he did to help us. But then he sends someone else precious, just like himself, the Holy Spirit, back to help us. And he can abide right inside of us, go with us everywhere we go. And John 7:37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. And he said it was expedient that I go away. I mean, it's necessary. And he knew what our needs were going to be. He knows all things, but he knows better what we need than we know ourselves. But he's got everything we need. In Luke 24:49, And behold, I send the promise of the Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them, and it came to pass while he blessed them that he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And some of these things I'm talking about here, the scripture just read, it was after he resurrected, after he had died on the cross there, but he came back and there were many witnesses, over 500 at one time, and all of his disciples, you know, at different occasions have seen him. And many of the authors of the Bible, the scriptures we've got tonight, knew Jesus personally, walked with him on the face of the earth before he left. But he promised he'd pour out his Spirit on all flesh in the last days. I believe we're in those days. And all we got to have is a hunger and ask and believe, and it shall be ours. And Acts 1:3. And to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And we know about the upper room experience, and he said, Acts 1:8, he said, You shall be witnesses, you shall receive power to be witnesses for me. And it says, read it here, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to that most parts of the earth. So thank the Lord, he helps us to be that witness and lead someone else to Christ. And there's many things that was fulfilled that day when he said, it is finished. And Jesus can say just a few words and have a lot of meaning behind it. And so many things we can learn. This is just touching the tip of the iceberg tonight, just some of the things that were accomplished. Thank the Lord for what he accomplished on the cross for us, and gives us everlasting hope, life, you know, peace and joy, salvation, deliverance, healing, all those good things that no one else could pay for us. I'll turn it back to you, Pastor.